Boy, that was weak. Amen. I don't know about you, and I haven't had an extremely difficult life, but if my reading of the Bible is correct, he can come in the morning. Amen. Because I believe that heaven's going to be more than we can ever imagine just to be with our Lord and Savior forevermore. I'm waiting to see him for myself. Oh, gracious and eternal God, the questions have remained throughout the centuries. When are you coming for your sons and your daughters? When will you return? Your record reminds us that in a twinkle of an eye, when the trumpet sounds, we who remain will be caught up and we shall see him as he is, and we shall be changed, thank God. So we await, God, that glorious moment when you'll restore everything. You've overcome the penalty for sin, but the presence is still here on earth, and we are waiting for that final enemy that still causes us to die in the flesh, to be conquered forevermore. We pray that your spirit will fall afresh on us, and will you renew and refresh your servant, that those who you have gathered here tonight might hear what you are saying to them and understand what you are saying at this place where they are in their journey of life. I rebuke Satan out of this sacred time. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some praise. Amen, amen. I want to thank the musicians and the praise team and all of you for leading us to this time in our worship experience. Please stand and secure your Bible or read on the screen behind me from the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. I'll be reading chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 from the New King James Version. It reads as follows. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. Thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." You may be seated. I want to supplement the title this morning and really get at the heart of what I'm going to be talking about. The title title is Where Is He? But it really more adequately should be entitled Pathways to the Manger. Pathways to the Manger. There is an author who has been studying spirituality in children. Her name is Sophia Cavallotti, and she's a researcher. She's pioneered this research in spirituality in children, and she'll often find that children have an amazing perception that far surpasses what they've been taught. In this particular case, there was a 3-year-old girl who was raised in an atheist home with no Bible, never went to church, and this 3-year-old girl asked her parents a question. She said, Father, where does the world come from? And her atheistic father said, well, he answered in a very naturalistic, scientific form. He told her about what we're going to talk about a little bit, evolution. And then he said to her, but some say that the world comes from a higher being called God. And this 3-year-old girl jumped up and started to dance and twirl around. And she said to her father, I knew what you were telling me wasn't true. There was something in that little girl, even though she had not been to church, even though she had never read the Bible, even though she was told there was no God, there was something in that little girl who told her that God is real. An author of a book who also studied this was growing up. Her name is Anne Lamott, and she was raised by her daddy as a devout atheist, and all the children had to contract to believe in this, but she too began to backslide into her faith. In her own words, even when she was a child, she knew when she said hello, she said that somebody was listening. My brothers and sisters, what we find in Matthew this morning is that there are many pathways to the manger. There are many pathways that God takes us on, different experiences, different ethnicities, different home experiences, different places around the world. But if you are listening, every pathway can lead you right to the manger. Said this morning when I used to practice, I never will forget being in court with an atheist attorney, and he thought about human suffering, and he thought about the prison system, and he was a great lawyer, is a great lawyer, but he said, if God can allow people to suffer like this, if God can allow folks to be treated like this, then God can go blank, blank, blank. Me and my Catholic friend just stepped away from him because we thought God was getting ready to do something right there. But later on in his articles, he writes for the New Haven Register, later on something began to change, and you begin to hear him questioning his own doubts. You begin to hear him through his own suffering, wondering and coming to a conclusion that there just has to be a God. This Sunday, and you may find, you know, why is Pastor raising this Christmas story after Christmas? But this Sunday is called Epiphany Sunday in the liturgical calendar. Because Epiphany Sunday is talking about the manifestation of Jesus Christ. Matthew was a gospel written by a Jew to the Jews to establish that Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews. But what it makes this interesting of this text being placed in Matthew, that it really is looking and anticipating not just Christ, King of the Jews, but Jesus as King of the Gentiles. How do I get there? Because the Magi came from Persia or Babylon, from the east, and they didn't have the scriptures. All they were doing was looking at nature, and through looking at the stars, God guided them. This was their pathway. Follow me, somebody. God guided the manger. That there are those who are not asking the question, where is he? There are those who believe there's no reason why we need to even consider the manger. There are the evolutionists that believe that from complex organic forces that we have come from, there are forces out there that are surely in the nature, and upon these simple forces, more complex forces develop, and here we are. And really, Christians don't have to be concerned with evolutionists, because the process may be ordained by God. It could have been established by God. I don't have a problem with that. But it's the evolutionist philosophy, if you will, that says that this is organic and there is no God that we have a problem with. There's the human secularist that says that we are little gods, that we are a human agency. We create our own reality. We don't have to worry about anybody outside of us, that we are big and tough and we can take care of ourselves, and we can deal with our own realities. Who has to worry about God? And then there's something that is worse than evolution or human secularism, and this is where we are with our children. It's indifference. It's indifference that the church folk can go to church. They can pray if they want to. They can read their Bibles. They can believe in Jesus. Just let me do me. You see, I don't have a problem when folk who are searching and asking questions wrestle with their faith. But the problem that we're having now is our young folk are indifferent with faith altogether. They're not even asking the questions, which is crazy to me. What is the meaning of life? How did I get here? What does God require of me as while I'm here? They are filled, not just young folk, this generation, they are filled with self-absorption. They are filled with just trying to not even deal with the realities of life. So that's why, you know, one of the highest industries in the world is marijuana. We self-medicate in ourselves because we don't want to think too deeply about this thing. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But I know somebody in here, amen. My brothers and sisters, there are many pathways to the manger. I don't know if you remember Professor Himes, but not long ago, the Catholic Church tried to reach some of these folk, and they had theology on tap. Anybody remember that? It was in the paper. Theology on tap is that the Catholic Church said, come on to the bar and have a drink with me so we can talk about God. Now, you know, I got that, oh my God, you know, from folk who are probably having some theology on tap themselves. Amen. let's just be real. But what they were saying is, whether you have a beer or not, or a drink or not, let's talk about God. Let's talk about Jesus, because you can get there from there. Many of us got there from there. Amen. I knew somebody that said he used to get high, but he was called by God. And every time he got high, he talked about God. He said, oh, his friends just said, oh, man, you bringing down my high talking about that Jesus stuff. But you can get there from there. Somebody's scared to say amen, but I know y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God is a big God. And young folk, wrestle with this thing. Don't quit coming to church because you are experimenting things in the world. Keep coming to church and asking God to help you understand this thing. There are many paths. praise to the manger. Some come like I did from a Christian home. Others come from a broken home. Some come out of addiction. Some come out of atheism. Some come from different ethnicities. God is everywhere trying to speak to everybody, and we need to just give people room to get there and go down their path until they get to the manger. The Magi were not Jewish, yet they got there through looking at point number one. You can get to the manger by looking at nature. The text tells us that the Magi, astrologers, in verse 1 and 2, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen the star in the east, and we have come to worship him." They didn't come from a Christian home. They didn't even come studying scriptures. They had a limited view of revelation, but they saw God, and God was speaking to them through nature. The first pathway that we all need to consider when we consider is God real is just look at nature. Look at the fact that the universe exists. How did it happen to be? Look at the complexity of the universe, the atoms in the air and gravity and the birds and the trees and the rivers and the mountains. If you can look at all of this and God does not come to mind, you need to go see a psychiatrist. Look at the beauty of what he's created. Not just in mankind, the funny looking giraffe, the elephant, platypus. Amen. That wasn't the first thing on my mind, but it works. God is in nature, and somehow God was, listen to me, speaking to the Magi through nature. It was nature that guided them to the manger. And if you study this thing, you'll say it must be a God somewhere. Not only does the text tell us that you can, a pathway to the manger, a pathway to knowing God is through nature. Another pathway is knowing God is through our fallenness, through our sin. I don't know about you, but when I look at myself and what I ought to be, I believe that God created me for something more. I believe that as I see the fallenness of man, I believe that God is holy and he's calling us back to holiness. In verse 3, it says, "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." You can get to God by looking at the troubledness of the world. Because in the troubledness and in our sin, we yearn for something more. We believe Genesis 1. I said this morning that somebody said this wonderful quote. It says that an evil conscience is filled with fear. I'm going to say that again. An evil conscience is filled with fear. Herod had an evil conscience that Jesus, whoever this king of the Jews would usurp his authority, would take over his kingdom. And it is that evil conscience that filled him and troubled him with fear. You ever thought about if you steal something, your conscience is going to be filled with fear that somebody's going to come back and take it again? I think about racism. And this applies to me, it's applicable to racism, because maybe folk are stocking up guns and waiting on a race war because if they're honest, they know the history of slavery and Jim Crow and all of that stuff. And maybe they think that if Christian folk ever get in their right mind and not their spiritual mind, there's gonna be a real war. An evil conscience is filled with fear. does this text tell us that the pathway to God is through nature? It's through recognizing, in my opinion, our sinfulness. I said this morning that anybody that takes a real look at themselves realize that we got some work to do. And if you got to realize that only God can do it. I know for myself, I'm not talking about it. I'm not indicting anybody but Keith Allen King. I know for myself that I need Jesus. Even with this robe on, come on somebody. I still need Jesus. This text tells us a pathway to the manger is through nature. A pathway to the manger is recognizing our sin and that we're troubled. Thirdly, the pathway to the manger is in the scriptures. When Herod consulted the scribes and the chief priests, they pointed him to scripture. Verses 4 and 5 says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. They're quoting in verse 6, Micah chapter 2, verse 5. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people. My brothers and sisters, you can get to manger. You know, even if you don't know God for yourself, you can get to the manger because of all of the prophecies that have been fulfilled in Jesus, that were told in the Old Testament, has been fulfilled in Jesus. You can get to the manger by recognizing Genesis 1, that we fell short of the glory of God and we sinned against God, and there was a separation of our fellowship with God. Again, I'm just talking about myself. The Bible is self-authenticated. Everything it says about mankind, I say amen to it. Without Jesus, I'm selfish. Without Jesus, I may steal your purse. Without Jesus, I'm dangerous. You know, I shouldn't tell this story, but I talked so much this morning, I can't do worse than what I did this morning telling on myself. There are cases in the law of necessity to show how bad we are. And a boat went down in the river, if Jackie remembers this case, and it talked about them dying on a boat. And there was a boy who was bleeding, and the grown men who were mayors and respectable folks in the village, they reasoned that the boy was dying anyway, so they just killed the boy and ate him. That sound bad? But that's what's in us. Y'all think that, oh, I would never do that. When we're desperate, self-preservation kicks in. And if you don't have Jesus, we just some, I know y'all don't want to look in the mirror, but this is why he had to die. I remember in my old days going to Atlantic City with my older brother, who is now going home to be with the Lord, but we all lost all our money in the slots machines. And we all brought lunch, and I was the only one who had a sandwich left. And my older brother, who should have been my mentor, acted just like a criminal. He snatched that sandwich out of my hand on the way back from the bus. And I was like, that's what's in us. Augustine said, heaven and hell reside in us. That's what scripture teaches us. That without God, mankind might do anything. When I got ready to pick a wife, I had one main requirement. That is, I don't trust anybody, don't trust God. But the text tells us that we can get to God through nature. They followed a star. The text tells us we can get to God by understanding our own sinfulness. The text tells us a way to the manger is studying scriptures, and conclude that this Bible is self-authenticating. It knows more about mankind and you than you know about yourself. And then lastly, the text teaches us that you can get to God by recognizing that without him in you, there is a longing, there is a yearning, there is a restlessness that only God can fill. A self-examination that there's some emptiness in us. The wise men in verses 10 and 11, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts to him of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The text tells us these men of Persia, of Babylon, they were searching the nature. They were looking for something just like you. You may not identify what you're looking for, but what you're really looking for is a real relationship with God. What you're really looking for is something to fill that void. I've been to the clubs. Come on, somebody. I used to hang out in the bars. I did the things that the world was doing, and I still found that there was something that was missing in my life. There was no peace. There was no joy. There was no contentment. But when I met Jesus, maybe some of you don't know what you need to fill the void that you've been trying to fill in other ways. I submit to you that you need Jesus. I submit to you that he, until you find him, somebody says, you will always be restless. Two short stories, come on, musicians, before I end, that really captures this longing that we have as humans for God and God alone. In addition to that story of that little three-year-old girl who danced when she heard that God was real, even though her parents were atheists, there was something in that little girl, and there's something in you that believes that there's a God. No matter what anybody tells you, you believe somewhere because we're made to worship him. A Hungarian composer makes this plain when he was studying Bach. He was an atheist, but Bach was a Christian and a masterful classical musician. And this Hungarian composer said every time he listened to this beautiful music and thought of Bach, he couldn't be a real atheist because he just heard God in Bach's music. He heard God in every classical note. And he said that he just could not get rid of this sense of God in Bach's music. Another young lady, Elizabeth King, was young as well, and she grew up in the church and became an atheist because she was young, and she went to her pastor and asked him about why, what's wrong with same-sex marriage? What's wrong with premarital sex? What's wrong with, why do you have to spank folks? And she left the church. But she says in this article, I could never shake God's presence. Listen to what she said. She concluded, I'm an atheist with a sense of God's presence. Somebody say, God is real. Lastly, the well-known author, Christopher Hutchins, who died of cancer. He was a publicist and a debater, and he went around, as you will recall, debating Christians. In one of his last debates with Larry Taunton, he arranged a series of debates, and as they were traveling around the world, this Christian and atheist developed this rich friendship, and as they were traveling in the car, Christopher was singing. They say they were driving around Shenandoah Valley. That's nature again, with clear skies and autumn leaves, and Christopher was reading about the resurrection of Lazarus, and he turned to Taunton and said, thou believest this? And Taunton said, you know I do. And then Taunton asked him, but do you believe it? Christopher said, as he paused, he said, "I will admit that it is not without appeal for a dying man." It's not without appeal that God conquered death. And by the power of his resurrection, we will never, ever die again. What's your pathway? Yours, not mine. I didn't know I was going to be a pastor, but there was something that after, I don't care, I shared this morning, I used to club in D.C., dance, and wake up with red eyes and put some Visine and go to church. Some of y'all are probably still doing that, but but God was calling me to do what I'm doing now. I had no knowledge of that. I'm sure there's somebody coming from addiction. Some of you may have come from unbelieving households. That's becoming the norm now. Grandmama used to take folk to church. Now ain't nobody taking the kids to church. And they're just stumbling into church. Whatever your pathway is, God's trying to get you to the manger. God wants you to look like the Magi. Look at nature. It's speaking to you. It's calling you like the Magi to the manger. God is real. Look at your own sorry, sinful self, if you're honest. It's speaking to you. God is trying to call you to the manger and say you need forgiveness. Look at scripture. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. God is calling to you to get you to the manger. God is saying to you right now, there's a void. You tried to drown it out with alcohol. You tried the blunts and the ganja and the pornography. You tried everything. And yet you still know, you know that ain't the answer. I don't know what God is doing most of the time, but this I know, that Jesus loves me. This I know. Songwriter says, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you know that God loves you, there's nothing down here that can really steal your joy. I want somebody to accept him today. Our theme for this year, as you know, is in your Bible. Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Him who loved us. Come on, let's give God some praise. As we stand to your feet this morning, as we stand to our feet this morning, we're going to sing hymn number 506. 506, Jesus loves me, this I know. If you're here this morning, God has a pathway for you. He brought you here. The church is part of your path. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ for yourself,